All right, if you got your notes there, we'll jump right into this here tonight as we continue here in our series on advantage, duty, and balance. I think we're on part four here, but I do appreciate you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, once again, a verse that you probably know quite well. You may have memorized before, but 1 Corinthians 4, Paul is talking to here this church, and a challenging church, as you know very well, but a church that had a lot of issues and problems. I was getting around a couple of other churches this week at a meeting, and several pastors, about, as you know, there's about maybe 25 or so pastors that we get together, and it's funny to hear, we all swap stories, you know, about stuff and all these things, but it's just great to know that men are faithful and people are faithful. Okay, notice what he says, 1 Corinthians 4, he says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And then he says, verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Very simple, but we know what a steward is. We'll look at that in just a minute, but truly that we're to be found faithful. One of the requirements in the Word of God and for all Christians is that we would be found faithful. Someone asked me that before. Do you mean faithful to church? Well, that's part of it, but faithfulness in general. And we live in such a fickle world where people are just so unfaithful. And just recently, we heard of a couple, in fact, two couples that we know that just recently split, you know. And just thinking about so many things, people, it's so such an unfaithful world and so many challenges around us. So we're called now and are studying our advantage, duty, and balance. One of these areas is being a steward. Now, notice in your notes there, I gave a lengthy definition. I won't read all of it, but notice a steward is one who is entrusted with the management of property, finances, or other affairs not his own. He's an administrator. He's one to whose care or honor anything has been instructed, a curator or a guardian or a governor, manager, superintendent of household affairs. So on and on we could go. It's kind of lengthy of a definition, but that's kind of the true definition of what a steward is. Now go to the second paragraph under that. Notice, and as we seek to glorify God, we realize we must make daily choices to obey and serve Him or serve self. And the Lord makes it simple for us. He does. He informs us that really, as we study this, but in Matthew 6, he says, no man can serve two masters. Well, why? He says, for either, and there it is, it's either or. Either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. He continues and says, you can't serve God and mammon. Now, here's the stark reality. I'm either serving God or I'm serving mammon, which is the riches of this world. But here's what Jesus says, you can't do both. And I know I've tried that before. It just doesn't work. Why does my heart go towards that or get on that instead of on God? It's got to be either or. So common sense tells me that I ought to be serving God, but how do I conquer the drive to get the riches of the world, which are so strong? Now, some of you, we got young people in here, and you may not get to that. You're not to that point quite yet of riches. You're not thinking about money. You're not thinking about maybe material. You're not thinking about maybe buying a car and renting a house yet, right? But it'll come real quick. And it seemed like one day you were there and one day you weren't, right? I mean, you just woke up one day and all of a sudden, wait, I'm out of the house now and I've got to do this and that. But it's coming, right? And so we know that. Now, we see that I must come to the realization I'll never be an owner of material things in this life. They all belong to God. He does not give them to us. Notice, He only allows us to use them. We are managers. We're stewards of His property. Maintaining this attitude helps us keep mammon from becoming my master. So in order to glorify Him and fulfill our purpose here on earth, we must accept the fact that we are stewards rather than owners and choose to be faithful and wise stewards. Again, notice Luke 12:42. I like what he says. He says, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom the Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, notice, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, he will make him ruler over all that he hath. So when he finds him doing, he's faithful in what he's doing. So number one, again, the question is, well, what is a steward? We already described that, but I underlined it, and it's basically this, is he's an administrator, not an owner. And that's true. You're not an owner. We don't own anything. Somebody asked a very, very wealthy man when he died. And I think it was J.P. Morgan or one of those guys. But he died, and one in the back of the room said to another one, said, I wonder how much wealth he left. And the guy looked at him and said, well, all of it. He left it all. He didn't take a single thing with him, did he? Not a single thing. And so we are administrators, not owners. So that leads us to number two then. Well, what does God assign us to manage then? I need to know what to manage in order to have a proper understanding. There's a few things, really a handful of things here. Notice, first of all, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, we're to manage or steward our temple or his temple. Notice, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? That the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. That's the question. He goes on in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are, notice, bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's true. So he says, listen, I think more people today would understand the body, this what we have, our temple is not our own. We're bought with a price. You've been paid for, and we know that. We can't defame it. We can't defile it. We can't treat it wrongly and poorly. Again, we get into a lot of things like that, but for sake of our audience tonight, I'll be careful what I say, but a lot of people they defile their bodies in so many ways. And we have to come back and say, this is not mine. This is not mine. By the way, that cures a lot of maybe what we call self-deprecation or or hard on ourselves all the time about stuff. Because we realize, wait, this is God's. He gave it to me. This is what, maybe doesn't matter what background I come from, what color I am, or whatever, what language I speak. God put me there. Okay, so notice his temple. We ought to manage that. We ought to steward that. Letter B, his mysteries. 1 Corinthians 4:1. Again, as we said, let a man so count of us as ministers of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, what are the mysteries of God? Basically put, we're responsible for the word of God to the world. Now, remember, people read this book and it's a mystery to them, isn't it? It's like a code. They're trying to unlock a code. Can't figure it out. We are to be ambassadors. We're to be those that share the gospel with people. Explain the word to them and help them out. You don't have to be a theologian, but you can help them as you study your Bible. There's a lot of mysteries. We don't understand. People say this, how can you believe in a God you've never seen? And you believe you're going to go to a place, some kind of paradise one day, just up in the sky. And we try to explain it to them, they can't get it. They think it's funny, they laugh at it, they mock at it. There's a lot of mysteries. How do you believe that God dwells within you by the Holy Spirit? That sounds really weird and strange and even creepy. We say, oh, then let me show you from the Bible what it says. So we are to be managers of that. Letter C, we also have, the Bible says, his manifold grace. 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are to be ministers of, we are to be ambassadors, as I said before, but we're to be those that are sharing the grace and expounding it and helping people understand it, the grace of God. People don't even understand the depth of the grace of God. And that's why he puts the manifold grace of God. Help people to understand it. And see, man, what truly it is. You understand how God will forgive you of your sins and give you the grace you need to live a life. Live a life. I think about the fellow last night that shut down the highway. Did you see that? I don't know. He had all kinds of problems, just released from prison and all these things and had all kinds of issues. But his life ended last night. What you think about what led up to that point in his life. So sad, isn't it? Tragic. No doubt probably came from a broken home. Probably made some really bad decisions, obviously, in his life with drugs and other things and crime. And it led to that point. A younger man, ended his own life. They had to take him out. And I think about that. If more people would understand and know the grace of God that's available to them. Now, here it is. We're the ones that should be propagating that. We should be what? We should be managing that and be administrators to that. Hey, here's what I can share with you and tell you. Now, letter D then, notice certain material things. Luke 16:9, I hope I have the right verse there. Yes, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. When you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. How many verses did I put there? Quite a few. okay, we won't read all of it, but he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in least is also unjust in much. So he's just explaining to us that we have this. Now, notice here, one, we are to manage money and other material things as belonging to God. Now, what the Lord's pointing out here really is that he's not saying don't have any money, don't have any material things. He's saying be wise in that and manage it properly with a correct understanding that it's not mine. I'm just managing it. And God's allowed me to do that. We're to manage these things, money, material things, but know that they all belong to the Lord. Number two, and I know, again, I'm preaching to you folks that do this very well. You're good at being a great steward of God. But notice we are, secondly, we are unjust and unfaithful to God when we claim them for our own. Okay, notice before he goes on to say in verse 13 of that text of Luke 16, no servant can serve two masters, for either hate the one, love the other, else he'll hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So the wording there is a little bit different, but we ought to understand that. It's when people, if again, many people, they get stuck on that. Well, that's all I have. And that's what I need. That's what I want. And it's not all of it. That's not the end of the world. That's not the end of your life. It goes so much deeper than that. And those things. Okay, let's keep going though. Number three though, notice, what is the proper attitude of a good steward? So we know what we are to steward. We know what we are to administer, be an administrator of. But notice Luke 12:42. Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom the Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Who is it, he says? Is there a faithful and wise steward here? I want to know. Now, letter A, notice, I'm to realize that all I possess belongs to my master. There's many verses here I put here, but just a few. Notice Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's. Now, that's capital L-O-R-D. That's the Lord. That's God Almighty. And the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. God owns everybody and everything. Amazing to think about. These people get up and start talking nonsense, you know. We just keep in mind that God's still in control. Now, Exodus 19:5, he says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, and ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. All the earth is mine. Deuteronomy 10:14, behold, the heaven and the heavens of heavens is the Lord's. Now notice there's three heavens mentioned there. Heaven, heaven of heavens, and the Lord's thy God, the Lord's thy God, and the earth also with all that therein is. Everything, everything. He owns it. He owns it. We know that. Now, if we get up there one day and the Lord decides to reveal to us that he actually created another solar system, a whole nother galaxy far off, and there's actually people over there that he's dealing with just the same as we are, that'll be a great day. Well, great. Hallelujah. Praise. But for right now, it doesn't matter. All that matters to me is I need to know how to get to heaven. I need to know what God wants for me, and I need to do it. People get so caught up in this kind of stuff, don't they? Now, thinking about it. Oh, notice Psalm 50, verse 9. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains. And the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Isn't that wonderful? He says, I don't need your pathetic bullocks and cows and bulls and goats. I don't need that. You think I need your money? You think I need your money to help this church stay afloat? I don't need your money. I'll do it. But if you'll help, if you'll give, if you show me that you're keeping me first and that you're showing me, Lord, I'm just a manager of what you've given to me. Listen, I'll bless you accordingly. I'll help you. Okay, Haggai 2:8, he says, the silver is mine, gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. So again, I am a servant, not an owner. We know that. He says, ye are not your own in 1 Corinthians 6:19. You're bought with a price. So a few things under that. Notice one, Jesus Christ is my master, and I am specially marked off as his property. That's Ephesians 1:11. Remember this. If he's my master, I have a special mark, or I'm marked off, I'm set aside is a good way to put it, as his. I'm his property. Now, this is something unique about people often ask me this, and they say, well, how do I know, number one, I'm saved? And the basic answer is, well, did you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Now, 9 times out of 10, they always say yes, right? Obviously. Well, yeah, yeah. And then they'll say, well, I don't feel saved. And then I say this, well, have you been living in sin? They'll say, well, you know, not blatant sin, but, you know, normal sin, everyday sin type things. And I say, well, has the Lord corrected you? Do you feel convicted when you sin? I'll say, yes. Okay, that's one. Well, then I'll say again, well, if you've gotten into some sin and got some little backslid in your life or whatever, did the Lord correct you? I mean, you knew it was the Lord and he corrected you by something. Something happened. You go, oh, yes, I know that. Those are indicators that you are saved. out of a life of sin. Now, part of that is that you are his property now, right? You're one of his. You're his child. And he's a loving father. He's a caring father. He won't allow stuff to go on. An unloving father would abandon his kids. His kids run out into the street. Hey, your kids run in the street. Which one? Who cares? No. I mean, if you even have a half a brain, you're going to go, I better go after that kid. I better go help him out. Now, that's what we have today. People not understanding we're property. We're owned by God. I like this. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, and that we should be to the praise of his glory. There it is. Who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, for that ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believed were sealed. There it is, with that Holy Spirit of promise, Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, that sounds a little confusing, but you folks know what he's talking about. There's that earnest money put up front. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so you're God's property. God owns you. You're bought with a price, etc. We know that. Number two, though, notice he expects me to glorify him in everything I do. He really does expect us to do that. Now, the question for me is, do I glorify God in all that I do? No, I don't. But he expects that. Really, you could put it, the very least we could do is try to glorify God in all that we do. The very least. Give you everything you have, and I provided for you, I help you, I've given you your health and your family. I mean, the very least you could do is serve me. Is that too much to ask? He requires me to be a faithful and wise steward of his property, what he's given to us. Now, God does entrust certain people with more property. I am not that person, but there's some people he entrusts with some big property, a lot of things, good things. And again, I said before, money's not evil. It's not wrong to have money. It's the love of money. That's the position of the heart. And we know that. Okay, so I'm to realize that all I possess belongs to him. Letter B, I am to fear my master. I am to fear my master. A good steward realizes that it is very foolish not to fear God. Solomon summed it up this way, Ecclesiastes 3:14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Notice, nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. Meaning, listen, God's going to do what he wants to do, right? Men should fear him. Now, can we change some things? Lord, help me, Herod. Lord, change the situation or this, whatever it is. In those minor things, sure, but God's overall going to do what he's planned out and predestined to do with men. And Solomon says we ought to fear him. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, remember, this is the end of Ecclesiastes here. And he wraps up the whole book with this. He says, here's the end of it. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. Now, is that too hard to do? Just two things. Just two things. And still, we can't do that, can we? For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And he really will. He'll bring it out. He'll bring it forth. So I'm to fear my master. Now, this is my source of true wisdom and right understanding, to fear the Lord. We could go throughout the book of Proverbs, talking about how many times he says to fear the Lord brings wisdom. To fear the Lord, it puts you on the right path. 1 Corinthians 3:18, do you have that one? I think, yes. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. It's written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they're vain. They're vain. And so understanding that, again, what does it matter? You're the CEO, multi-billion dollar person, and you die and go to hell. I mean, that's stupid. I mean, that is foolish. That's downright idiotic, right? I mean, you got a guy, I won't say any names, but I mean, these guys, who cares that they have multi-billions of dollars? To the world, it's, wow, power. Do you know these guys are controlled like puppets, aren't they? I mean, they have no freedom. They can't just go wherever they want to do whatever they want to do. They're puppets. They're owned. And they die, live a whole life, and die, and go straight to separation for all of eternity from God. Now, notice, this is my true source of wisdom and right understanding. Again, Psalm 111, verse 10, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where you get wisdom, a good understanding. Have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Proverbs 1, verse 7, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. They despise it. They don't want any of it. Right? No wisdom. I want to know what God wants me to do. I fear God. I fear Him. And again, we have the reverent fear, and we've talked about that before, but there's literal fear of God. I mean, literally, I fear God. I don't want to do certain things because I fear Him. I know He's going to do something in my life. You say, that's not the kind of God I serve. I don't know what God, that's the God of the Bible. Kids, you disobey your parents and you're disrespectful, He will punish you. I don't know how else to put it, right? Bad things happen in your life. Bad things happen. And we've all of us adults know that, right? That's the fear of the Lord. Now, He's not a mean, vindictive God, but what is it? There's a proper fear. I want it, Lord, what do you want me to do? When you put everything in a line at all, Lord, and make me feel comfortable, then no. We sometimes, most of the time, just act upon things because I fear God and I don't want to get on that side there. Now notice, this is a true wisdom. Number two, this is my place of safety. It's a place of safety, place of blessing. It's a place of increase. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. His children shall have a place of refuge. Proverbs 29:25, fear of man bringeth a snare. Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. In one proverb, it talks about that the foolish person, they fear when there's nothing there. That's called paranoia. That's what they're paranoid all the time. You know, they're fearing the nonsense of life, aren't they? Oh, I wonder how we're going to pay our bills. I wonder how we're going to get through this. I wonder what the president's going to do. And I wonder how we're going to... All this. Now, this is real life stuff, but compared to eternity, doesn't matter, does it? You know what you'd be fearing is, you know, oh God, and help us to see them saved, Lord. They've got to get saved. Lord, help us to reach more people for Christ. That's what matters. But this foolishness, if you will, right? Okay, so let's wrap it up here. Hebrews 13:6, I like, he says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I don't care. Man can't hurt me. The worst you can do is take my life. Jesus says, don't fear that person that can take your life. Fear him who can take your life and cast you into outer darkness. Proverbs 19:23, fear of the Lord tendeth to life. He that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. True. What stops, the biggest thing that stops most people from being a solid Christian, an outspoken Christian, is what? Man, fear of man. We're scared of people. fearful of people, fearful of what they'll say and how they'll reject us. And again, they're not rejecting us, they're rejecting the Lord. Number three under that, if you see it there, this is pleasing to the Lord. We know that. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him and those that hope in His mercy. Takes pleasure. And that's not a sick, twisted way that He said, oh, they fear me. Yeah, oh, I get pleasure out of that. No, it's true. It's reverent and respect. It's a love. We fear Him. He takes care of us. I am to know, let her see, my master's will. Now, the Bible is my source of that knowledge. 2 Timothy 2:15 talks about what the Bible is, that source of knowledge, to study, that we may be approved, that we may know what we're supposed to be doing, show thyself approved unto God. Workmen need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's my source of knowledge. We study it. We memorize it. We saturate our lives with the word of God to know His will. The Bible becomes my daily guide, my daily guide. Psalm 1 talks about that. But I'm to know my master's will. If I'm going to be a proper steward of His things and of what He has, I need to know His will. I want to do what you want me to do. A guy called to work one day and he said to a new employee, and he said, how's everything going over there? He said, I'm doing great. I just started this morning and I'm feeling good and everything's going great. He said, well, that's great. He says, you're at the wrong store. Okay, you've been at the wrong location. We need you to get over here. Oh, my bad. That was not the good way to start his new career there. Okay, but you think about it. Sometimes people say, well, "I'm doing God. I'm managing God's things. I'm doing it." But you're not in the will of God, right? We're in the wrong place. We got to get to where God wants us to do, and we will shine. We will be vibrant in the local congregation and wherever we are. So, lastly, notice I'm then to remember that I will have to give an exact account. I have here an exact account to my master. And you go to the IRS and you can't gloss over numbers, right? I mean, I think we spent about $25. No, you need exact numbers. They want to the penny, everything. And you think about, we will give an exact account of our lives. Now, we cannot, most of us in here could not remember back 20 years ago to a specific date. Some of you young kids have a great memory. You probably couldn't remember 3 weeks ago. If I gave you the date, you could look back and go, and I say, what did you have for breakfast? Well, you might know if you're on a schedule. You go, I don't know. But you know God keeps an account of everything, every single thing. Now, again, I said this before, we won't be judged for our sins. Remember that. But we will be judged for the works we did or didn't do for Christ on earth. And it's going to be a very sad day for most of us, myself included, of what I didn't do for the Lord or could have done. But notice, we will be called upon to give an account of our stewardship personally to Christ. Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10, he says it again, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So what did we do? How do we handle it? So again, being a good steward, we have the advantage in this world of knowing the truth. We have a duty to manage properly and be a proper administrator of what God's given us. And how do we balance that out is to know the will of God and seek him daily and ask him, Lord, am I where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to be doing? You've given me so many good things. Help me to manage each one of them. I want to manage my relationships. I want to manage the material things you've given to me. I want to manage what it is in my life of ministry or whatever it would be that you have, your job, workplace, all these things. God, help me, help us to do that. Amen? And that's what I hope you will. I know you're doing such a good job at that, and I want to encourage you to continue to think about that. And the ultimate thing is that we look ahead and we think, Lord, one day I will give an account for that. I want to be a good steward. I want to be a good manager of what God's given to me. I want to be where he wants me to be and do what I'm supposed to do in that. Anyways, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time again. We can gather together. Thank you for another message here. And I just thank you for our people that truly exemplify this, Lord, and great stewards of what you've given to them. And just keeping you first in all that they do in their finances and their relationships and their jobs and possessions, God, just keeping you first in all of it. Lord, we cannot outgive you. You will provide. You own everything, as you clarified to us again tonight. And we so thank you that we can, Lord, be your servants and your managers for these things you've given to us. Help us to do our part. In Jesus' name, amen.